You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. The beautiful female voice you hear is my co-host, Dr. Melody Fox. Melody, how are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome back. I certainly hope your trip was a success last week. We certainly missed you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I think it was very successful. We did quite a few things. We've gained some more information. I don't want to give too much information out there, but so far things are successful.
It's an ongoing investigation, I understand.
Absolutely. Now, stopping by to tell us about a unique competition that provides more than just jobs is Jonathan Mooney and Jonathan Block-Virk. These two have developed a program that integrates high-risk youth between the ages of 17 and 21 to the promotion commercial business. Gentlemen, tell us a little bit about how this particular project works.
Sure. Well, I run an organization called Promax BDA. It's an international association for entertainment marketing executives. Effectively, the folks who are in the marketing set of the entertainment business, so on-air, off-air, promotion, marketing, PR, communications, design, they are a part of this association. And about a year and a bit ago, Jonathan Mooney and I started working on a project that would start bringing in a more diverse talent base into the on-air promotions industry. And we looked at some of the issues facing our industry, and diversity was certainly one of them, and recruiting new up-and-coming talent into the sector was another. And so we set out to develop a promo pathway program, which is a fully integrated program, and Jonathan can go into it in more detail, but it's a fully integrated program that targets high-risk kids and trains them for high-paying jobs in high-growth areas of the television promotions business.
Now, guys, I mean, this competition seems to provide a real chance to succeed in more of like a dream career for many of these young people. Is that kind of what you're going for?
Absolutely, and one of the interesting things is this is the first time that our industry has reached out into any sector of the education in education. One of the kind of jokes in our industry is that nobody chose entertainment marketing as a career. They kind of fell into it. So this is a very aggressive and deliberate outreach to target kids and introduce them to the different areas in the business, specifically on-air promo.
And how are you outreaching to the children to find them for this promotion or competition that you're providing?
Well, I mean, as Jonathan said, I think it's really important to understand that not only is it a critical need for the employer partners who are part of this and really leading this initiative, it's also a critical need in low-income communities. You know, the creative economy and employment in the creative economy, some people say, represents 8 out of 10 jobs in Los Angeles. But all of the conduits to connect low-income youth of color to those jobs have broken down, right? So as schools have been defunded, the first thing to cut is art classes, right? Film and video and editing programs are not being invested in Compton, South LA, Wilmington, East LA. So we have this huge disparity where the jobs of the future are not industrial jobs, they're creative jobs. But there's no way to connect young people to those opportunities. So our initiative is about building that bridge. So we're working deeply with community-based partners all around Los Angeles to recruit and source young people with creative capacity who have talents, who have never been given an opportunity to access what you said, which is a dream job, which is a life-changing job. And it's very important to emphasize that this initiative has been led by the private business sector, by the leadership of Promax, by the leadership of NBC, CBS, Fox, Fox Sports, who have said the eyeballs watching TV are eyeballs of color, but the folks making color aren't representative of that. And they've taken a real leadership role to change that.
Now, Jonathan, did you go to them with this, or did they actually come to you?
go to SBCC?
Well, or to the networks. In other words, who initiated this?
Well, this was something that in my role as president and CEO of Promax BDA, it's one of those things that I come up against all the time. I mean, this is a ongoing issue. Recruitment of diverse talent into the entertainment business is just an ongoing issue. Very few sectors have been very effective at implementing true diversity initiatives, true and effective diversity initiatives, which go further than slapping a name on an award or having a dinner honoring somebody of color. What we wanted to do was set out to create a real, true, deliberate, and aggressive diversity initiative, really focused on our corner of the universe. We're not talking about in front of the camera. We're not talking about programs for producers or directors. We're talking about entertainment marketing, which is a very specific skill set, and one that is is completely lost in the, as Jonathan said, there's a huge disparity between our industry and the opportunity, the career opportunities that kids know that are available. So working with Jonathan, who has a huge reputation and an amazing success in the career pathways space, also a best-selling author, et cetera, et cetera. He's phenomenally successful in that space. We talked about what we could do together, and I went to the networks who supported it, unwaveringly supported it. They we have amazing partners in our diversity initiative in ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, Warner Brothers, Viacom, Turner, Arts and Entertainment, the A&E networks, and Comcast Entertainment Group, all of whom support it completely.
Who are the children that are applying for this program?
Well, I mean, these are young people who, let's say, have perhaps historically misapplied their creative capacity, i.e. on the side of a building, through the well-known graffiti and street arts. They are young people who would have been sitting in that film and video class if it wasn't cut by LAUSD. These are low-income youth of color, African-American, Latinos, Asian-American, young people who are white and face socioeconomic challenges, who are looking for access to opportunity and are looking for a bridge to seize that opportunity. And as Jonathan said, this isn't in front of the camera. It's not those sort of splashy jobs, but a promo writer, producer, editor can make upwards of $800 a day. And if you live in East LA or you live in Compton, that changes not only your life, that changes the life of your family, that changes the life of your community. And it's an opportunity that they're going to have to work hard for. This is a one-year training program at Santa Monica Community College, which is one of our partners. SMC is the Harvard of community colleges in the state of California. It really is. And they're going to have to work hard, but this is an opportunity that's been facilitated by Promax and by your corporate partners.
Have the teens been chosen already? The children been chosen already? Or can people still apply for this competition? It is coming up very soon, isn't it?
The finalist day is Saturday, essentially this coming Saturday, less than a week from today.
December 11th.
December 11th. Okay. There's still opportunities to apply for this, and folks can check it out at promopathway.org. There's still opportunities. Extremely competitive. Over 200 applications for 25 slots. And the finalists will be selected Saturday, the 11th.
And the finalists, what do they get? What do they win?
They get a free ride to SMC to participate in the first ever a promo writer, producer, editor certificate, not only in LA, not in California, but in the country. And I do want to recognize our educational partners here, Santa Monica College. They've designed this, and it's the first in the country. They go for free to that. They have access to internships, which will be paid. And at the conclusion of the pathway, successful applicants will have priority access to jobs, to writing, producing, editing jobs of promos.
Yeah, and you anticipate, is it 25 jobs that are going to get filled?
Yes.
Absolutely. For the kids that make it through the program, and we anticipate that they all will, there'll be jobs waiting for them on the other side.
Absolutely. Now, is this something you're looking at to be an annual event?
Oh, and absolutely. I mean, I actually wouldn't look at it as an event or a contest. This is an ongoing education program. Absolutely. We're piloting it this year, and our intention is to roll it out on the East Coast in 2011.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's great. So it's not even an annual event. It is something that is – this is a pilot program that's going to be able to continue. If people are applying now, it could be on whenever the next – thing is, it could be months from now. It doesn't have to be a year from now.
Absolutely.
That's great.
So if people missed out this year, they know what's available, and next year they could look at – give the website again.
www.promopathway.org. And as you said, this is going to be an ongoing institutionalized program that's going to not just change 25's lives, but 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, not just in L.A., but hopefully California and hopefully the country when it's all said and done.
All right.
Now, there's a need. Sorry. Yeah. There is an ongoing need for creative talent in the entertainment marketing business across the country. You know, we're piloting it here because this is where we're based, and the resources, the grants that we got to implement this program came from California, and so that's why we're rolling it out here. But there's needs in Des Moines. There are needs in New York. There are needs in Atlanta and D.C. And there are television networks and entertainment content marketing entities all over the country.
Now, we have a lot of professional people that listen to the show, as well as a lot of parents. If you wanted to say something directly to the kids, if you were talking directly to young people 17 to 21 that would be interested in something like this, what would you tell them as to how to get involved?
Apply. First and foremost, at promopathway.org, apply. It's still open. Even if you miss the deadline, as we mentioned, this is an ongoing thing. We'll store your name. We'll engage you. You'll be first in line for additional groups that go through. And then above and beyond our specific initiative, I would tell parents, because both Jonathan and I are parents, and let's be honest, Jonathan, you're a corporate sponsor who facilitated this, but like all good things, alcohol really facilitated it. Right? We were having a drink one night, we're having a beer, and we said, you know, what can we do to make LA a better place? And this is what we came up with. But as parents, invest in the creative capacity of your children. You know, there's this big debate of should we be doing drill and kill test prep? Should we be trying to standardize their education? We're going the wrong way because the jobs of the future are creative jobs, and invest in that creative capacity of your kids.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. We appreciate what you're doing, and I hope that you will come back so that we can talk about it some more, be able to really let the people know. I don't care if you're in New York, you can call in, and we can promote that as well because you're doing a great thing. I really appreciate it.
Thanks
a lot. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for what you're doing for all the kids. I've worked with them, and they really need the support and mentorship, and that's fantastic. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a break. We will be right back. Everybody, continue because we have quite a treat for you. We have Peter Alsep. He's going to be here. And while we're waiting, you get to hear a little bit from The Gift.
For Christmas, I wrote to Santa long ago. There's only one thing on my list. Just listen, Mom, please don't say no. I'm sorry you got mad last night, Mom. I'm stubborn just like you and strong. You show me how to do things right, and you hug me tight when something's wrong. I love the things you do, such as at bedtime when we read a book. And you don't yell when you get mad, you just squint your eyes and look. But when you cough, I think you're choking. I get so scared, I have to say. For Christmas, Mom, would you quit smoking? Throw your cigarettes away. Don't burn out in one great big blaze, or I'll make my squint eyes at you. I need you here for lots more birthdays. Don't quit for me, Mom, quit for you. Someday I will have some kids, Mom, and they'll need grandma hugs a lot. I need you too, Mom. each time you light up, I wish that you would feel scared too. So listen, Mom, 'cause I'm not joking. I don't want toys on Santa's sleigh. For Christmas, Mom, would you quit smoking? Throw your cigarettes away. I love you, Mom, so please quit smoking. That's all I want on Christmas Day.
And welcome back to Answers for the Family. I'm Dr. Melody Fox, co-host along with Alan Cardoza, who we're very happy to have back from last week. And what I'm really excited about is our guest today is Dr. Peter Aslop. He's a nationally known singer-songwriter, educator, and humorist with a PhD in educational psychology. He graduated from Trinity College in Connecticut and did his postgraduate work at Columbia University. And he's worked as the director of Harbor School's Residential Treatment Center for the Emotionally Disturbed Adolescents in Maine, and as a junior guidance elementary school teacher in New York South Bronx, and what hasn't he done? His 19 audio recordings and 7 DVDs consist of consistently win Best Children's Awards from organizations such as Parents' Choice and the Association for Independent Music. His songs are used daily by thousands of parents, educators, and human service professionals like myself.
Are you going on a picnic without me?
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going on a picnic in a moment, but we're going to have a little fun here. But a lot of us use his music to help families discuss sensitive issues such as child abuse, loss and grief, and chemical dependency. He's also acted on stage, television, directed feature films, etc. Performs extensively at conferences, festivals, and concerts throughout the United States and Canada, as well as hosting annual training workshops at his Otter Space Conference Center in Northern California. And I just love that name, Otter Space, like the animal in the ocean, the otters. So I'm most thrilled to have Dr. Peter Aslop here with us today, as is such great fun attending one of his presentations at a recent conference. And Alan, I don't think you could even imagine hundreds of adult therapists singing along with Dr. Aslop and dancing around holding our behinds, talking about trading butts and let everyone know that it's our butt, nobody else's. And kind of, that's the fun of the songs. It really was a lot of fun. Maybe you don't want to imagine that, but his music's really fun for all ages, and I think it really helps parents and educators to discuss these really sensitive topics for not only smaller children, but older ones as well. So welcome, Dr. Aslop, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Wow, what a long introduction. I guess that wraps it up for today.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you've done a lot here, and I think it's really important. And the song that we just played was called The Gift, and it's from your Chris Moose Holidays CD.
Yeah.
Or DVD, and it talks, I like that song because it talks about the role modeling that parents do, and, you know, a lot of times our parents maybe drink, you know, a little bit more socially than our children are comfortable with because they're being taught in school, don't drink, or smoking, like the song implies. So can you talk a little bit more about that and how you came about?
Oh, sure. Well, as a psychologist, one of the things that I've noticed is what a feeling-phobic culture we have. You know, I mean, people have feelings all the time, but we don't really encourage or support people to build what I call a feelings vocabulary. You know, a lot of the medicating behaviors and out-of-balance behaviors that we see, which is what's happening when you're smoking cigarettes or drinking. And I'm not, you know, like shaking, wagging my finger at people. I just, I know from the last guest that you had on, for the little PSA you did about teenagers needing mentors in their lives, you know, that all kids do that, and they watch what the parents do. And I know there's parents out there right now listening that either smoke or drink too much and are thinking, I wish I couldn't do that, or eating, you know.
It's the holidays.
The chocolate chip cookies, exactly. you know, whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's just when you're doing stuff obsessively and compulsively to avoid dealing with your painful feelings. Mm-hmm. Because my last name's Alsop, and actually it's a derivation of the word ale shop. We happen to have so much alcoholism in my family, we even named my family after it. You know? And so when I went, I don't seem to have problems with alcohol myself, but all my brothers and sisters are chemically dependent. And I'm more of the chocolate chip variety of a medicator. You know, when there's chocolate chip cookies in the house, I go, I'm thinking about them all the time. I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll have a couple for lunch, or maybe God, I'm thinking about these all the time. I should just get them out of the house. I'll eat them all.
There you go.
It's the same mentality.
See, now I know why I liked you as soon as I saw you. we have that whole chocolate chip cookie connection.
Yeah.
Well, so for me, a lot of that has to do with how do I clean up my own act so I don't pass these things on to my kids. And I found my kids had a four out of five chance of being alcoholics with my family history. And I can't go with them and get them not to drink or use other drugs. It's so endemic out there. The kids would come home and say, Dad, everybody's smoking pot. Everybody. And you're not going to be accepted if you don't. You know, and these are when they're teenagers. They're grown now. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, they don't seem to have any problems with these things because I think that reason people use medicators is because they're having painful feelings surfacing, like being scared or sad or angry, and they don't know what to do with them, so they medicate them. All of us do that. I happen to use chocolate chip cookies. And I need to sit and think sometimes saying, all right, I know this isn't healthy for me. I'm on my 15th cookie here. I'm kind of just, they're just going in and going down. I don't know. It's easy. But is there something going on that I don't want to look at? Because until I feel that or figure out what that is, I'm not going to be able to stop my medicating behaviors. And if I don't deal with the stuff that's going on, then how am I going to help kids, my kids or any of the kids or families I deal with, if I don't have some of those skills myself?
Right, because the children watch their parents. They watch the other adults and the mentors and their coaches and the people that care about them. And they really learn from watching other people's behavior.
Now, what made you decide that you were going to start projecting your message out to kids through music?
Well, let's see, Alan. actually, it started quite a while ago when I was a young man and I was in military school. And I was watching a bunch of girls screaming at a band. Oh, I love you. I love you. I want to put my hands on you. And I think I want to play music.
There you go.
That's, I think, where it started.
I think every teenage boy goes through that.
And well, I'm not sure that I went through it all the way. I mean, but it got me playing guitar, and it wasn't all it was cracked up to be in terms of the girl situation. But I found that the people that I most liked, the music that I most liked, was people that had something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a feminist girlfriend for a while who was constantly busting me on things. And I thought, oh golly, yeah, you're right, I'm doing that. And I thought, well, maybe I should write a song about that so some other poor schmo doesn't have to go through the same pain I just went through, mm-hmm. and they can, like, figure it out and stuff. So as soon as I would learn something that was useful and insightful, I would try to write a song about it, and often with a sense of humor about it. And one of the things I found that as I got older and I started having kids, my kids were doing things that I was, I'm sure there's parents out there listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are constantly helping me see what I went through the first time, but now I've got another set of glasses on. I'm going, oh yeah, now I know why I was doing that. Wow. And so these little bursts of insight would happen, and I'd write a song about them. And Melody was saying something about wanting to take a look at some loss and grief, because mm-hmm. the holiday season is a real time when people take into account and going, well, what's going on? Where am I in my life here? And what did I not have? And what do I feel sad about losing? And the kind of New Year's resolution
right.
time. There's a lot of suicides and things yes. this time of the year. And so there's a song that that we might want to listen to. It's mm-hmm. called Where Will I Go When I'm Dead and Gone? But I wrote it from a kid's perspective because I believe that a lot of times it's parents that as an adult, I don't know how to talk to my kids about this, so let's not talk about death or loss or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part, more so than even watching what parents do, kids get these messages that nobody says out loud, but we do not talk about death in our family.
Right.
And, I wasn't invited to my grandparents' funeral, not because it wouldn't have been, might have been helpful for me to see that and have a forum to talk with my parents about it, or see my mom or dad crying.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want to do that because they were uncomfortable with it. So consequently, now it becomes this big thing where I know, nobody said it, but I know that death is really scary because my parents don't want to even bring it up. So I don't know whether that's something we can air that or want to talk about it for a minute.
Absolutely. No, let's bring it up right now and we'll talk a little more.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to do that because also a lot of loss from pets. Sometimes you come home and your cat's gone and your parents don't tell you what happened. It's just gone away, but it actually died and will never come back. And how do you tell children that?
I have some wonderful stories. There's a mom and her daughters. A mom had been a retired teacher and both of her daughters were currently teachers and they came to one of my workshops. And one of the daughters was sharing, we were talking about love. She says, we had a parakeet named Tweety that was the world's oldest living parakeet, you know, and it was just amazing. It lived and lived and lived and lived. And the mom says, oh, dear, no, no, there are lots of Tweeties. Yes. And both of the daughters went, oh, Mom.
Yeah, I've heard of parents replacing a identical gerbil or hamster or whatever you try
to. Right, absolutely. And then, yeah, the dog that gets hit by a car and the parents, you know, say, well, you know, they've run away, but they're probably living somewhere else with a very nice home and stuff because they want to shelter us as kids from these things.
Yeah, and I was curious, how young is too young to start discussing this loss and grief? Because I know younger children don't really have the vocabulary to
absolutely,
you know, talk about what they're feeling.
Well, my feelings about that is that it's not, the discussion is an intellectual process, but kids have feelings when things disappear. And there's another song that I use called My Brother Threw Up on My Stuffed Toy Bunny, which is a great song because kids love to sing about throw up.
I've heard it.
But at the end of the song, we get to talk about, in a non-threatening way, about how this kid feels because he can't play with his rabbit. It smells so bad. Mm-hmm. I remember we had a little goldfish that my kids wanted a Halloween thing where they're throwing mm-hmm. pennies in. This was the world's, this goldfish lived on our counter for like 5 years. Finally, I walked in one day, it was floating there. And rather than my wife's going, flush it down the toilet. And I went, no, you know, we have an opportunity here. You know, so we had a little fish funeral with the kids. We had a procession. I played some dead fish songs and we buried it in a little box and they put some flowers in and everything. And I said a couple of words over the fish. And then my two daughters are standing there, you know, she was 5 and 9. And I said, does anybody have anything that they want to say? And my youngest, Willow, raised her hand. I said, yes, Willow, what do you want to say? She said, can we go now?
She's done.
So it was a whole lot more about me and my stuff. So in terms of kids being little, I think that they'll let you know how much they want. But what's most important is that you're a safe place to go if they do want to talk about it, or if they just want to cuddle, or if they just want to feel sad. That's so important to create that. Mm-hmm. And if I don't deal with sadness, I'm not going to be able to create that safe place for my kids.
Well, sure. Exactly. And I think, too, that even though she may have been bored with it at that point, it doesn't mean that it didn't have a something inside that clicked with her. So, all right, well, let's bring that song up. It is Where Will I Go When I'm Dead and Gone.
Yeah, it's just for big kids.
Take me.
Take me
with
no,
you.
No, that's song number 6.
Take me when you leave. I'm just your little.
We're just finding a few
right.
CDs
songs
here.
It's songs on loss and grief she should have in there.
Yeah, Dr. Alsop has so many songs and so many CDs. And actually, while he's looking for that, why don't you give us your website on where people could find your music?
It's www.peteralsop.com. The only thing that I can think happened, Alan, and since this is live radio, we want you people to know that this is not, we don't want to be slick like all those other shows. We opened this and took it out of the thing, and it's possible that this came from the makers of the CDs with the wrong CD in it.
Oh.
That may have been happened. That was a Take Me With You CD.
Okay.
Which is, again, actually, you know what? Let's play that song.
Let's
go
with...
That's called Take Me With You, and it's about a little kid that couldn't go with everybody else, and she was feeling sad about it. And it's a funny song, but it'll also show you how you can deal with loss issues. With a kid in something where I want to go with the big kids, and the other kids didn't want her to come, and so she's singing, Take Me With You.
Okay.
Let's play that.
Here we go. Take Me With You.
Are you going on a picnic without me?
Yeah, it's just for big kids.
Oh, please.
Take me with you, please. Take me when you leave. Just your little child, and surely you can see, if you don't take me, I'll be damaged psychologically. Yeah, maybe I'll go crazy and paint my face all red, or scream and eat my pillow, or put mustard on my head. Or I might find your wallet and take all of your cash, send it off to Uncle Bill or throw it in the trash. Please don't say no, I wanna go. I'll even be your slave. I won't get sick, I won't make noise. I promise I'll behave. So take me with you, please. Take me when you leave. Now I would never threaten you. But if you leave me home, well, I might have some accidents. I might pick up the phone and accidentally call Japan or China or Peru. I might unplug the freezer or feed your fish some glue or accidentally spread some peanut butter on the rug or overflow the water in the sinks and in the tub or break the lamp or turn the heat up high as it will go, 'cause little kids like me can make mistakes like that, you know. So take me,
take me,
take me with you, please. Take me,
take me,
take me when you leave. Did someone used to leave you home when you were little too? Can you remember back that far and how it felt to you? What if goblins in the basement come and eat my bones? What if something happens to me when I'm all alone? What if gypsies or coyotes carry me away? 'Cause they're lonely too and want a kid like me to play with. You say you're coming back soon, but no one really knows. I love you and I get afraid and I miss you when you go. So take me.
Everybody, take me.
Please take me.
Take me.
Take me when you leave. Yeah, take me.
Take me.
Take me. Take me with you, please. Take me.
Take me.
Take me.
Take me.
Take me. You know, that is one of my favorite songs. I was listening to all your CDs after the last conference and when I bought almost all of them that I could possibly get. And I really think there's a lot to be said with this song because children as well as teenagers don't understand why they can't go along. Why do parents always go out to dinner and leave you behind? Or you're an older child and you have to stay behind and watch the younger kid. They get angry, they act out, they throw temper tantrums, they pout, they complain, well, I don't want to do this, why am I always stuck here, I never get to go anywhere. So I think I identify with that song. That's probably why I liked it so much. I got left home a lot. But, you know, it's just, I just think this really opens the doors to talk about these things in a very fun way.
Right. And once it gets out on the table, I mean, really what that's is sort of a litany of passive-aggressive behaviors that the little kid's saying, I could do this, and this could happen maybe because, you know. And but there's certainly a lot of adults that do passive-aggressive behaviors, too. You know, you're not happy at your job, so you steal pencils and take them home, you know, and they're wondering why they have to constantly buy new pencils or whatever it is, or envelopes or something, you know. Things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you do it anyway because you can't. It's difficult to be clear and say, you know, I think that I should get a little bit more money for this, or I'm unhappy with this thing, and what's my stuff, and what's, you know, they don't treat me very well at this job. Maybe I ought to get another job, but that's too scary, so I'm going to stay here and be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we, so just to get that stuff, because there aren't simple answers to these human predicaments. There's just creating clarity about it and talking with friends and sorting through the feelings.
And how would you suggest that a parent utilize these songs and use them? And is their use different than what educators or therapists or other professionals would use them with the children or teens?
Funny. It's a good question. Teachers usually have a mandate of getting pouring reading, writing, and arithmetic into the little minds, you know, so that they can get high test scores, and then the principal and the teachers don't have to worry about their school district getting in trouble or losing funding.
Right.
A lot of times, the stuff that I deal with, and most of these songs are dealing with social behaviors and affective kinds of feelings and things that are not necessarily in the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. How do you test on how someone deals with their sadness? So consequently, if it's not on the test, then should I be dealing with it as a teacher here? Do I take time? And yet, if those of you out there in the listeners' audience, you know, are thinking about some teacher that had an effect on your life, I'm willing to bet that teacher dealt with some of the affective stuff that was going on, because
mm-hmm.
that's the stuff that sticks, that's most important, you know. And you probably can't remember, you know, eighth grade math. So, you know, with parents, it's a little different. If you hold a parenting workshop, the parents that show up are the ones who need it the least.
That's usually how it works.
Yeah. So I found that if I put probably 85% of my stuff is kind of covert parenting information, because I don't want parents to feel funny about their parenting skills. We're doing the best we can with what we have,
right,
and
sure.
A lot of us didn't get very much from our family of origin. Some people got a lot, you know, and we pass on what we have in the best way we know how. So I find that in the songs, there's certain songs like that one, for instance, where maybe a parent will go, oh yeah, I guess I do that, don't I? You know, I maybe ought to cut that out. Just that little kernel of light that goes on can make a difference in that kid's life, and they're all their brothers and sisters, and maybe the adult at work, the way they're treating peers, they're kind of, there's some consciousness been raised about that and going, yeah, gee, I'm doing this at work too. All from a little kid's song. So I find that the, for me as an educator, a lot of the music is a terrific way to get stuff through. And those are for parents who maybe weren't thinking about this. There are parents who think about this all the time, but they can't find it supported in the music because an awful lot of the music's ABC 1-2-3 stuff, or really, you know, polka dots and checks and things like that, things that are fun for kids, and I try and do that as well. Mm-hmm. But I think families really need help, and that's why you guys do this show, mm-hmm. with figuring out how to parent and what kind of things are out there. So I feel like I'm kind of support staff for the people that are out where the rubber meets the road, the parents and the teachers that are out there dealing with all of these problems. Was it 1 out of 4 young women sexually abused in this country by the time of 18? One out of three families have active alcoholism. So kids have big stuff to deal with, and you know, as parents, we do the best we can with helping them. I'm trying to provide some stuff that they can use.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things that you're doing, and I looked at some of the songs, and you're touching on issues that are very difficult for parents to touch on. And I know one of the first times in which I heard songs similar to some of the songs that you have being played for young kids had to do with a young girl who had been used in as a sexual tool in human trafficking. And I was very, very impressed with the people in social services at that point. They had songs like you have that they used to talk to her, because they needed not only to talk to her about what had happened to her, but also did not want to make her worse for it. And I was really, really impressed that one of the first things that they did was that they had somebody that sat down and talked kind of all around it and didn't really go into it, and then started playing some songs. And one of the songs had to do with being touched where you shouldn't be touched.
Right.
And I think that's huge. And I think that parents, I mean, when you suspect something like that, how do you approach that question? You know? And so when I looked at some of your songs, I thought it reminded me from many years ago when I first heard it. This is how you can approach those things and not further traumatize someone who's been, you know, abused or taken advantage of. Tell us a little bit about that side of it, some of the songs you've written.
Oh, one of the ones I'm most proud of is, I wouldn't be surprised if you've heard it, it's called My Body's Nobody's Body But Mine, and it's actually saved some kids' lives. There's a bunch of songs that I've written about this stuff, and some of them were for adults more, because I've done a lot of work with child abuse and abduction prevention skills and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Long time ago, I wrote a song called Look at the Ceiling, which is about dissociation during an incest situation.
Yeah.
And it was such a powerful song, I knew it was a really good song. I would work with a group up in Santa Barbara called Impact, and this was 40 years ago when we weren't talking about this. This stuff was not on the air, wasn't on television, nobody was mm-hmm. talking about it. And Impact said, if you could write something just to get it out, because this is happening to so many people, that we need to be able to talk about it in some way that doesn't carry so much shame about it, because even bringing it up, people feel ashamed about it. And you know, so often when it's generally older male, younger female, but not mm-hmm. always, but right. when that happens, the little girl brings it up and says something, and she's made to feel like there's something wrong with her. Even in the rare cases that dad would get prosecuted, you know, that she'd feel like it was her fault that the family was being blown apart. Mm-hmm. So I did the song one time, Look at the Ceiling, and, you know, would you like me to do that?
If you're in a position where you can do it, I would love that.
It's an a cappella song.
Okay, perfect.
Look at the ceiling, the shadows are bears. I wonder what's on the TV. And Daddy's hands rub me all over. I wonder, do leaves in the creek find their way to the sea? Mom mashes potatoes and pours in the milk, silently smokes cigarettes. Wish she would hug me or look at me even. I'd trade my allowance for that. Billy plays tag with me all the way home after school. Boy, he's really a brat. But we didn't do nothing, and it's not fair for Dad to make him go home just like that. Look at the ceiling, the shadows are bears. In hurricanes, where do birds hide? And Daddy's hands rub me all over. I wonder where butterflies learn how to fly.
County Fair once had a merry-go-round. We used to watch Mom and Dad ride. We used to laugh and they used to hold hands. Neither of them used to cry. When the spider scared little Miss Muffet away, how did she know where to run? Oh, I'd love to sleep in the bathtub all night and wake up as clean as the sun. Look at the ceiling, the shadows are bears. Oh, why do bees die when they sting? And Daddy's hands rub me all over, I wonder. Where do balloons go when you cut the string?
Wow. That's amazing. Powerful. And it's just, you know, I feel like I'm speechless at the moment.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that's what happened the first time I played that song. There was you could hear a pin drop in the audience. It was for a bunch of college students, and I went, oh, crap, what do I do now? you know, because it is very powerful. And I wrote a song called Love is the Only Medicine, which whenever I do look at the ceiling, I always play Love is the Only Medicine because it takes it out and it gets people mm-hmm. singing along and it kind of gets them back to a place. But that song also has been very powerful for people who've been abused because they go, wow, I'm not alone. Someone's even got a song about it. And I've had a lot of people for survivors groups that have used that to talk about stuff. So how do you get this? The song doesn't heal people. Having safe people around so you can talk about the stuff, get on the table, it's not going to change what happened to you, but it can change the way that you see it, the story that we tell ourselves, that there must be something wrong with me. Golly, you know, and there's so many cases where there is a pleasurable feeling, even though it's about power, and you're going, this is so mixed up and crazy for me, and it can screw people up for the rest of their lives with their figuring out their sexuality and their relationships with their partners. Mm-hmm. And so, way not okay, as we know. But in some cases, it's not just the parents being okay and having a stranger or an outsider doing it. Sometimes this is going on in the family, and it becomes the big family secret. So how do we open the doors for that so kids learn how to say no when they need to say no and know what appropriate touching is and when it's not appropriate? And part of that requires that you have your feeling vocabulary intact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you learn that by learning the words to express that. And also, the songs are wonderful, and as an adult, I appreciate them, and I understand them and how powerful they are. And I know for children, hearing them over and over again, or when they're littler, it makes it easier to talk. But how have you found teenagers to respond to that, to listening to the CDs? I know in person, you're very dynamic and engaging, but how would a parent get a teenager who might be a little resistant? Oh, I don't want to listen to that, right. Or, you know.
Well, there's two things that I do. One thing is I do, you know, the secret to winning all these awards I've won is mentioning boogers and underwear somewhere in the songs, you know. but that's mostly for grade school level. What I do with teens is I say, okay, I got some songs that I do for little kids. Remember when you were a little kid? You know, in some cases it was last year, but uh-huh. like, you know, mm-hmm. or you have little brothers and sisters. I'm going to play this song called My Brother Threw Up My Stuffed Toy Bunny. You tell me why this might be a good song for kids. What do you think? Okay. And then they get to listen to it as an adult with me, mm-hmm. and we get to discuss it, which is all I'm interested in the first place, is
right.
just having some discussion about these issues.
Okay.
The Look at the Ceiling song that I mentioned has been used for lots of groups of teenagers because it's really an adult song.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, there's so many of the, I had five adult albums out before I started doing any of these kids albums. Mm-hmm. And as I said, so many of the kids albums are, see, we call it elementary school because I think kids are the elements of who we are as adults. And I've done a staff training, middle management for Fortune 500 companies, and I use kids songs
mm-hmm.
because they're disarming, and because if you're talking about managerial styles, if there's somebody whose managerial style is off balance, it's probably because something that happened to them as a kid that's keeping them off balance with the way they're treating other people mm-hmm. from their fears and stuff. It's all based on the same stuff. And it's a real disarming way, but I use kids songs as kind of a metaphor. Kids are a metaphor that you can hold up. People will listen and they get it, and then we can move on and talk about some of the kind of stuff that goes on for us as adults.
And I mm-hmm. want to make sure we have time to play one of the other songs, and we only have a few more minutes, but it's called Pick Me. It's about perfectionism, correct?
It's called Pick One, and
it's
not about perfectionism. I don't think you've heard this one
yet. Yeah. No, I'm thinking about another one.
You're thinking of one called ARG, which is the screaming song. Little kids scream on the chorus because it's so crazy trying to be perfect all the time.
This is on
my new adult album called Disciples of Perfection,
okay.
and I have a new kids one called Grow It at Home. As well as some of the things we've listened to is one called Christmas Holidays, which is not just about Christmas. It's about ecumenism, the song called The Night Before Hanukkah. And if anybody wants to go to www.peteralsop.com, all of my stuff's available there, either as downloads or you can order CDs, which I'd be happy to send out.
Mm-hmm.
And this pick one, the reason that I wanted to close up with this is because we're all, you know, if you watch the news, there's a whole lot of stuff going out there that makes you feel crazy, and you know, just trying to empty your email inbox can make you nuts, you know, mm-hmm. with all the stuff coming in. And everybody's feeling stressed and running around, and kids pick this stuff up from us as parents. And I certainly find myself running around. And my grown daughter, who's 33, I know she really is very interested in animal rights and the way that she's a vegetarian and stuff. So, you know, and I said, how do you keep from getting crazy? There's all this stuff about, you know, the banks are going on and the stuff with the economic stuff, and now the internet is under attack, and maybe they'll take that away and the big guys will get it and not have the kind of what the, how? She said, Dad, you're going to make yourself nuts. Just pick one. And I went, what a great idea for a song.
So let's pick one called right pick now. One.
All right, here it is. This is Pick One.
Number 13.
It says 13.
No.
A light in the shine through our
cracks. That's the first cut.
It's one of life's most simple facts.
Well, isn't
okay.
this fun?
And that was So-So Security?
No, that was Disciples of Perfection, which is the title cut on the album. That's the first cut. We need to play number 13, which is the
okay.
pick one if you can find it.
And it says that there's 13 items on here.
You got to
got pick one is up?
No.
I'm going to try it again.
All right. Here we go.
That's not it. It's Disciples of Perfection.
Okay. It's interesting because it says pick one on here.
And well, I can't help with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, tell us about.
Is there are they in play number one then? Because it's maybe they're on backwards or something. I don't know.
Okay. It lists number one here is So-So Security.
No. Number one is Disciples of Perfection.
Is Disciples of Perfection.
That's one we just listened to. That was number 13 on there.
Okay. So you're thinking maybe they're on backwards? So,
The
one that I was clicking was pick one.
And that's not the song that's playing.
Well, I have a suggestion.
Yeah?
Pick one.
Pick one.
Anyone.
Just pick any of them. And let's see.
We have time to play.
Okay, let's see what this one is then.
They're all good.
Who knows what we're going to get?
That's right.
I put a little bit in, they take a little bit out. I put a little more in, they say there's never any doubt. You'll get yours when you retire, but there's nothing left for me. That's So-So Security.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, what happened?
It's raining out today and I'm stuck inside. Got the TV channel changer, but I can't decide. All the great programs on TV. Flipping through the channels, then Mom says to me, she says, pick one, you're making me crazy. Pick one, your eyes are getting hazy. Pick one channel, try it for a while. You can always pick another if it's not your style, but just pick one. Well, I couldn't stand the blabbing, so I went for a walk. Down to the library, no one there can talk. Books by the thousand, which one to read? Then the librarian whispered to me, she said, pick one, you make yourself crazy. Pick one, your eyes are getting hazy. Pick one book, try it for a while. You can always pick another if it's not your style, but just pick one. I looked down at my shoes, I couldn't seem to choose. So I went home, turned the radio on. There was talk about war and the nuclear bomb. Offshore drilling, sex abuse and killing, polluting the environment, ineffective government, oil barons, cancer, and lots of drugs, healthcare, welfare, and Wall Street thugs, financial collapse, crowded schools and population, terrorism, vigilantes, immigration. I want to save the world before it's blown away. I was overwhelmed, then I heard myself say, pick one, you make yourself crazy. Pick one, your eyes are getting hazy. Pick one cause, try it for a while. You can always pick another if it's not your style, but just pick one.
the best. Pick one or you're gonna get depressed. Sitting in your stall doing nothing at all. So pick one, this is not a test. Pick one, make it work for you. Pick one, there's lots that we can do. Try to think small, cause you can't do it all. To get a lot done, you gotta start with one. So just pick one. Pick one.
That's right, everybody. Pick one. There is lots of great things that you can do out there, be it the environment, be it your fellow man. There is plenty of things we can do. Just pick one.
And what I think was fun about today is that it was perfect in its imperfection, as we are all human beings, and we're not all technically savvy behind the board, so we're all learning here. And I wanted to thank our guest today, Dr. Peter Alsop, and remind you that you could pick one of his CDs, DVDs, award-winning music that you could use with your children, with your students, with the people you mentor at www.peteralsop, that's PeterAlsop.com. Please go join him. If you want more information, just go to our website at Answers for the Family.
You got it. And again, for everybody, seek to catch someone doing something good every day. We did.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.